And turn today into the book of Ezekiel. I want to read one verse of scripture. We're going to the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read verse number 49. Ezekiel 16, 49. You may say, why this message? And I just want to bring the thought that God put on my heart. Our nation is in a mess. Spiritually, physically, morally, our morals are about to fall apart. Anything is right, nothing seems to be wrong. Our principles seem to have gone out the window. And our nation is crumbling. And every child of God should be disturbed about that today. I am. This ain't the first time it's ever happened. Every nation that's ever gone the way this nation's gone have already gone. And it's just a matter of time. If it don't turn, this nation will be gone. The principles as we've known them and as I've been raised and taught them as a kid have been thrown behind us. Thank God for the little remnant of the people that's holding the country together. And the little remnant of people that's holding to the Word of God. That's what's keeping our nation alive.
Amen.
And so I want to look at this morning. I pray that God will help us stand, please. Only one verse. I'll read it twice. The Bible said in Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. I want to read that again. Four things that was wrong with Sodom. These in reference to Sodom and Gomorrah. The wicked city that God destroyed. Four problems with them. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. You can be seated. Our Father, we thank you today for the privilege of preaching and reading and studying and declaring the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that it's our guidebook. It's our rule book. It's our only book to help us. We thank you, Lord, it's not the philosophies of men, not written by the mind of men, but by the mind of God. Thank you, Lord, that it's the Word that's been inspired and kept and preserved. Lord, it has always helped those who listened and cursed those who did not. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch hearts. Help us to reveal and speak and declare the Word as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if I ask you this morning about Sodom and Gomorrah, out of the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, what was the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah? Most of you would tell us it was homosexuality and sodomy. And you'd be wrong. That was not the main problem. That's a terrible sin. Matter of fact, God says that that is an abomination. God said in His Word that a man should not look on a man to lust after, and a woman shouldn't look on a woman to lust after her. And if a man slept with a man or a woman slept with a woman, He said that's an abomination to God. God said that's as much as I can take. It's a stink in my nostrils and it makes me sick, so to speak. An abomination is about as far as you can go in making God mad. And it did bring the judgment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But before Sodom and Gomorrah ever got where they were, something else had taken over to cause them to be there. America has accepted all this kind of stuff in our nation. I get up and read today about, and hear it on the news about taking the lives of innocent babies, which is murder called abortion. And that didn't just happen one day. Somebody didn't get up one morning and said, we're going to start killing babies. That wasn't just something that come out of some college. But it came out of the lack of the preaching of the Word of God in the churches.
Amen.
Brother, I want you to know, and sisters, I want you to know today that that wasn't just something that happened overnight. We've always had people who had no respect for human life. Pharaoh tried to take the lives of innocent babies after Moses was born. Then they tried to take, Herod tried to take the lives of little innocent babies when Christ was born. So killing innocent babies is not something that just happened in the United States of America a few years ago. People have no life and no concern for human life. And the reason they've done that is because something triggered them. And then homosexuality that I was taught against as a boy, and it was just a shame for anybody to talk about something like that. But now today in America, who would ever believe is called an alternate lifestyle? And somebody said, you ought not to preach that in the pulpit. Well, if it had been preached in the pulpit like it ought to have been down through the years, we wouldn't be having it today. And I'm not trying to cause confusion. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have a different feeling toward this. No telling what I would grab and hold and run with today if it wasn't for the grace of God that reached down one day and saved an old wretch like me and brought me to my senses and gave me a new mind and a new heart and a new life. And brother, I still believe America needs to preach in the Word of God.
Amen.
Now they'll argue with me and say I don't see anything wrong with it, and that is perfectly fine for them to have their own mind to think that. It don't make no difference. It's still against the Word of God, and God's against it.
That's right.
And Lot should never went to Sodom and Gomorrah and got down there. But I want to tell you why it got like it was. Let's turn in our Bible to the book of Proverbs. I want to point out some things about Proverbs and hold your place there in Ezekiel, because certainly we're going to come back to that. There's four things in this verse I read to you, and I'll not cover those. I'll not even get off probably the first one. But I want you to see what the main problem was, and the same problems are with America today. The nation that I live in, I believe, is one of the greatest nations that are ever been. I believe it's the greatest nation on the earth today. If I didn't, I believe I'd try to find me another place to live. I believe it's a great place. I do. It could be greater. But what's happened? America's forgot how she got where she's at. In Proverbs chapter 6, I want you to read this. I've quoted this a lot of times. But I want you to read the Word of God. It don't make no difference if I tell it to you. I want you to read it. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 6, the 6th chapter, and we're going down to verse 16. God's going to tell you things that He hates. You said God's a loving God, but He hates too. A loving God hates things. There's things God hates. And every child of God has to love something and hate something. And if you love God, you're going to hate the same things that God hates. Sometimes we deviate from it and we change our hatred. We hate things that God loves. That gets us in trouble. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. I'm taking my time. I want you to let this soak in. God has troubled my heart and burdened me with it. And I want to get the burden off, so I need a good lunch. And let your nap be the one that's upset today and not mine. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord. What's that word? Hate. Did I read that right? these six things doth the Lord hate. That means He despises, He does not like them, He hates them. A holy hatred. God has a holy hatred. That's something I don't have sometimes. My hatred ain't holy. But God has a holy hatred. He hates it in the right perspective. These things He hates, six of them. He says, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Amen. Six of them He hates, and seven is even past that, makes Him sick. Verse number 17 tells you what that first one is. It's at the top of the list. It's not at the bottom. It said, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Number three, amen, that's abortion. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Those are the things that God hates. Do you see that every one of those are running rampant upon the streets of America? Many of them are found not only on the streets of America, but sadly to say, they're found in the house of God among so-called Christians. We're to be different, saints of God, than the rest of the world. My speech is to be different. My mind is to be different. My walk is to be different. My lifestyle is to be different. And if it's not different, they're not going to see any difference in me. They're not going to make a distinction. And if they're like me and I'm like them, we're not going to make any advantage in the world with the church. And that's where we've gotten to. Now the Bible said, verse 17, a proud look. Back in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, He said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. The first one is what? Pride. God said, I hate a proud look. A proud look. That means just you look like you're full of pride. God hates pride. There's four things that has ruined this nation. They're classified in Ezekiel 16 in verse number 49. You said, preacher, you keep saying that. Yeah, you didn't get it the first time, the second time, the third time, and the fourth time. I'm going to keep poking at it like a mama does her baby. She'll take that, what is that stuff? Baby food. She'll put it in the spoon in his mouth, and he goes, and half of it's back out on its lips, and she says, pokes it back in. And she may do it the third time and maybe the fourth time, but finally it gets it all. And I just poke it back at you. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. God said pride. That's number one on the list of God that He hates. When a nation rises up in pride, she gets in trouble. Now, can I just back this off a little bit? And I'm not talking about backing off on the preaching. I'm talking back it off to another thought. When pride gets in your heart as an individual, when pride gets in your being as a man or as a woman, you're done for. When pride begins to take over your life, when pride begins to control what you do, when pride begins to lead you where you go, and when pride gets, you know what's happened? Self is all you've got on your mind. The Bible said in first chapter Romans that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Pride will cause people not to retain God, not to think on God. God is a father's thing from a man or woman who's full of pride. I'll tell you some things about pride in just a moment. We're going to look at some people in the Bible that was full of it. Amen. And it controlled them. And everybody, every man or woman that's ever been filled with pride has always went down. They've never climbed higher. Pride will give destruction. A haughty spirit, brother, comes before a fall when you go to bragging about yourself and thinking about yourself and happiness. Listen, any church that thinks it's number one, any preacher who thinks he's number one, any church member that thinks they're number one, anybody, man or woman, husband or wife this morning, that thinks that they are have reached it and they're there, they're in for a great fall. God loves humility. Now, I don't particularly like it, but God loves it. And every time I climb up sometimes to get a little higher, and I put my foot on the first rung, and I step up, and then the next time I step up, guess what's happening? I'm getting a little bit of pride, and I look back and I say, look at my achievements. Look at what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. And prideful people do that. They brag on what they've done. We're living in a nation right now, and I said it's a great nation, but we're living in a place where people are so proud of themselves. When you get proud, too proud, you don't retain God and your knowledge no more. So you don't think about where you got that stuff that you got. You forget where you come from. Have you ever heard people say they forgot to raise it? Being raised poor. Listen, I was raised as poor as any. Listen, I don't know if I was raised any poorer than any of you, but I'll believe I was raised as poor and maybe more poor than some of you. We is all poor down there where we was raised, but everybody knowed we was poor. And we didn't pay no attention to it. Have you ever seen somebody climb up on the ladder of what they call success? Have you ever seen them get so far in life, and the next thing you know, they quit looking at somebody around them? They forget where they, and then they seem to turn their nose up at somebody they was raised with. They begin to turn their nose at somebody that didn't have nothing. Matter of fact, if you look in Ezekiel chapter 16 in verse number, 49? It says the last sentence, so they got the place that they wouldn't even help the poor. You see that? That's where America's got to. Pride has brought to that place. Sodom and Gomorrah, they had a problem with sexuality. They wanted those men who were masculine, and they came down there to deliver Lot out of that wicked city. And those two angels came down to deliver him, and they said, send us out to men that we may know them. And Lot said, I've got two daughters that's never known man. Let me send them. I got two virgin daughters. Let me give them to you. We don't want them daughters. We want them men. They were perverted in their sexuality. And they'd gotten there because they had got to the place that they laid their own standards. They laid everything out in front of them, and here's what we're going to do. And we don't care what God says. We don't care what anybody else says. This is what we're going to do, and we see nothing wrong with it. Does that sound like America? I'm getting in trouble for this message. I realize that. But maybe y'all get me out of jail. It needs to be preached. I look at the scriptures, and I see that God said there's four things. Pride was one of them. Let's look at them, lay them out again, and then we'll go back and work on pride a little bit. Second was fullness of bread. That means plenty to eat. That means prosperity. You know what's ruined America is prosperity. Kids throw more off their table every day and out of their plate. I mean, it's enough to feed an army. Just scraps. Daddy told me, you eat all you get. Said you eat, you get all you want, dip it out. You dip out what you want. You get all you want, but you eat all you get. And there's been a few times, brother, I'm going to tell you, my eyes just about popped out of my head because I knew Daddy meant business. I go to a restaurant now, and most of the time, if it's not, unless it's just something ain't cooked the way I'm used to it, and it's not good. I mean, I went into the place not too long ago and they gave me some old green beans. I ordered the green beans. But they come out, I don't know Where they at? Somebody didn't teach them how to cook green. They stewed or steamed or something. And there's I bit down in one and said, "Kah." I ain't used to eating green beans. They're stewed. And they didn't even have them strung and broke. And I said to myself, I ain't eating them things. I couldn't taste any. I'm used to them cut up and strung and broke and cooked and a hog leg in the, amen, in the middle of them. I can handle that. Amen, a little grease floating on the top. And I, my daddy taught me to get all I wanted, but eat all I get. And brother, our kids don't do that today. Thirdly, abundance of idleness. You reckon we got more idleness in America than we ever had? Amen. They talk about 4 day weeks. Amen. God said 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh you don't. Amen. What happened to that? I ain't working on Saturday. I ain't working. I don't want to work on Friday. Hey, I don't want to work, period. But anyhow, God tells me we need to work. Man said, God said, if a man don't work, he don't what? He don't what? He don't what? Say that. Yeah, let the devil know it. I guess you're wiggling your toes, ain't you? Amen. Hear me. God said these three things. Pride. Secondly, he said fullness of bread. Number three, abundance of idleness. And number four, I mentioned a while ago, they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Now, we've got all kinds of programs in society to try to help the poor, you know. But it's all rigged. We got a lot of problems with that. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I told you we wouldn't get off of this subject. And you know what? You're going to have fun going and telling somebody. The preacher preached yesterday that it wasn't sodomy that got Sodom and Gomorrah in trouble. They're going to look at you like you're an idiot and declare that I am. Amen. But 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. We want to talk about this morning another man. His name is Hezekiah. You can find other scriptures about Hezekiah and Kings. You can find them also in Isaiah. But I want to use this scripture here to show you some things that's going on with Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah was the man that God told him is set his house in order. Because he's going to live and not die. He's going to die and not live. Excuse me. And Hezekiah prayed to God, turned his face to the wall and prayed. He got serious. Brother, when men think they're dying, they get serious. And he got serious and turned his head to the wall and began to pray. And the Bible said God heard his prayer and he came back to him and said, "All right, I'll give you 15 years. I'll add 15 years on your life." But I want to go back and look at some things out of 2 Chronicles that are recorded of him. Other places didn't record some of this, and other places recorded some that didn't get recorded here. That's just the way God does it. In chapter number 32 of 2 Chronicles, we go over to verse 23. That's, you may have to turn a page, but go to verse number 23. In verse 23 it said, "And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was," look at that word, what is it? "Magnified in the sight of all nations from henceforth." Now, when a leader gets magnified in the sight of all nations, there stands a reason for pride to rise in. One thing I worry about our president, I love our president. And brother, if they impeach him, I don't know what we're going to do. Honest before God. Now, I didn't get many two amens, but I bet you're wiggling your toes, aren't you? See there? Rest of you probably. And I'm not a politician. But I ain't blind either. So what's happened when you begin to magnify? Even our president, and I laugh about it when he says it because he don't know what he's saying. I said to start with, he was you know, used of God, but he's not the man of God. He don't even know he's being used. The thing about it is, God through the Holy Spirit can make an unbeliever do what's right. And I didn't call him an unbeliever. You just don't twist that. I don't know where he is or not. And many brought gifts. And they, when they come down and start magnifying him in the sight of all nations from henceforth. When people start bragging on the man of God, when people start bragging on the president, when people start bragging on the leaders of the land, when people start bragging on me and you, it makes our head swell up. Sometimes I stand at the door and I long for somebody to say, "Preacher, I appreciate that preaching. I like that. I will not lie to you. I like it." But I also have to say, "Lord, don't let that go to my head. I'm a nothing and a nobody. And had you not raised me where I'm at, I wouldn't be anything today. I am what I am by the grace of God." I believe Paul had that same problem. And we have to pray that we don't get raised. Amen. You can climb the ladder to get to the top, but you know what happens when the ladder breaks? It's a long way to the ground. All right, let's go down to verse number 25 of that same chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And it talks about it. "But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him." Notice this, "for his heart was" what? "Lifted up." Now we got to be careful when our hearts get lifted up. I say, "Oh God, squeeze my heart. Squeeze my heart. Don't let it get lifted up." Has your heart ever been lifted up? You said, "No, not me." For you're lying. My heart has been lifted many times. God said if we lift ourselves, he would abase us. But God said if we abase ourselves, he'll exalt us. And then he goes on to say, "Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem." Look at verse 26. "Notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself." You see, Hezekiah is one of them that lifts himself in pride. And always you lift yourself in pride. God will never lift you in pride. Remember that? Hezekiah lifted himself in pride. "For the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." We may be lifted in pride, and that ought to be a constant prayer in our heart. "Lord, don't let me get above. And don't let me lift myself in pride. Keep me humble." As they said about the old preacher, old churches praying for the, they'd get down and they'd pray. And they said, "Lord," they didn't have a pastor, and they said, "Lord, send us a poor, humble preacher. Oh, God, send us a poor, humble preacher." And they prayed that little while and God hadn't answered. And then they said, "Lord, send us a humble preacher. We'll keep him poor." And that's about right. You with me? But we see this morning that we lift ourselves in pride, but God will abase us and bring us down. Sodom and Gomorrah got the places full of pride. Now, let me just tell you something, what pride will do. Pride will put self as number one. I'm going to find me a closing place here in a minute. I'm trying my best to. This is one of them that we could keep a preaching for a while. I may come back and hook it back up tonight. I'm enjoying preaching this. You're probably enduring it, but I'm enjoying it. But as we go to look at these things, it puts number one as being self. And when we get to, let's just kind of look at it from a different perspective. I'm talking about a nation. I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about a country. But let's turn it around, not just an individual. But most of us have raised some kids. I raised that three, thank God. God gave me three good ones. I appreciate that. Had to, amen. That's why somebody said the other day, said, "Does bald headedness run in your family? And I said, no, pastoring church is raising kids does. That'll make you bald headed in a hurry. And I'm saying to you as I stand before you, three things about a young person. You did this, yours are doing this, and your parents did it, but it's getting worse every generation. Every boy and girl, I don't care whether it's a boy or girl, actually, girls are just as bad as boys. And if I raised two boys and one girl, if I had my time to go back over, I want to tell you, I had my choice, I'd raise boys over girls any day. I'm telling you right, it's ahead. You are wiggling your toes now, ain't you, brother? And I'm saying this. They'll get up. I don't care. Maybe 10, 12, 13. They'll wake up one morning and the little doll that she played with and the little pickup truck that he'd been rolling around over the hillside for the last few years is not satisfactory anymore. What mama's been telling her and what daddy's been telling him, they wake up one morning and say, you know what? And the schools help this. I'm as smart as they are. Why should I let them tell me what to do? See, there's three things it's hard to do raising kids when they get full of pride. It's hard to tell them, it's hard to teach them, and it's hard to train them. Boy, either some of y'all are scared to say anything or I'm lying. I know I'm telling the truth. You can't tell them, you can't teach them, you can't train them. Because they wake up one morning, I know as much as that old man knows. I know as much as that old woman knows. And so you start having a little havoc and trouble in the household. Guess what? It goes for a little while. And they, I don't know, get a burnt pizza before they go to bed. Get up the next morning, they say, you know what? I've come to the conclusion. I don't know like they know. And I'm not just as smart, I'm smarter than they are. I know more than they know. What they've been telling me, I know they're not telling me. There's something better. They just don't want me to have no fun. They just don't want me to have any kind of liberties. They just want to keep me under their thumb and tell me what to do when I can go to bed and when I can get up. I know more than they know. We're living in a modern day. They're old fogies. They lived in that last generation. Amen. So they go a little while like that and you have to adjust to it. Blood, sweat, and tears flow. Animosities build. Divisions swell. And one morning they get up and say, I've had enough of this. I'm through with it. And they rebel, and you can't never do nothing with them again till they grow up. And some of them ain't got grown yet, and you got them. You know what I'm talking about. You're working on them, ain't you? But guess where it started? What's the first word? Where did it start? What? Say it loud. Pride. That's where I've gotten trouble. That's where they've gotten trouble. That's where our churches have gotten trouble. Anytime anybody in church says, I know the best thing to do for this church, and they start trying to lead it and direct it, and when they start trying to tell everybody, and there comes the vision, thank God we don't have none now. Hallelujah for that. I hadn't had none in ages, and I want to do everything. We ought to be in one mind and one accord and harmony. This is like a church family. This is one of the only churches I've ever pastored that seems to get along as good as they do. Now I'm saying that, and the devil's going to jump on every one of us, and we'll come in tonight fighting each other. But you've got to work on it. And I appreciate, see, If this church wasn't in good harmony, you wouldn't let me preach this. You'd get mad. Now, some of you have, I guess. And you'll chew me up with them green beans that you eat. And that's all right. I've still got one or two that's wiggling their toes. Amen. You're probably wiggling yours too, ain't you, Brother Virgil?
Amen.
I'm serious. Ladies and gentlemen, it's pride. Takes us down. I'm not through with this subject, but I'm through with the message. And I'll be back. Amen. And I'm not a Hollywood comedian either. And what is it? One of them said, I'll be back. I don't know who it was, but I'll be back. Amen. Let's bow our heads as they come to the instruments. I believe you'll have to say this morning that we're right.